Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app to listen to The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, early and ad-free. Previously on The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Everyone in Sunnydale is going to be facing their worst nightmares. Xander is standing there in only his boxer shorts.
You guys thought I liked Angel. I don't know. I might be making a turn here.
Get the fuck out of my light, Wendell.
Reading loves Giles. Giles loves reading.
Oh shit, Buffy has a dad?
I'm cold.
He's like, research is my whole job.
And she runs into Xander, who is running away from a murderous, like, stab clown.
Oh, puff puff, pass before ass.
Takes off her jacket to expose her buff-ass arms. And he just turns around and punches the clown in the face.
Her powder blue nails match her powder blue jacket.
It's true.
And I am impressed whether she's a vampire or not.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is up with Sunnydale?
Dun, dun, dun. I love that we're like, what, 11 episodes in and you're like, what the fuck's up with Sunnydale, guys?
Listen, I'm here to ask important questions.
What's going on here?
This episode was wild.
It was so heavy.
I feel like I really saw what the Hellmouth was capable of.
Yeah,
this
you
episode.
Definitely did. But you know what? This coming episode is also heavy.
Yeah, this episode is truly something. Yeah.
And I also think we might get the powder blue jacket again in this episode.
Is it the same one or is it a different one?
It might be a different one, but it's the same kind of variation, same hue.
Jackets for days.
Well, from Wondery, I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And this is The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
This is episode 11, Out of Mind, Out of Sight.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We start with Cordy.
We sure do. And we start with Cordy's new guy.
Who I thought was Blaine.
She sure did. And like, I understand why.
He might as well be.
He's essentially Blaine.
Yeah.
From the teacher's pet episode.
Exactly. And you realize that Blaine's dad was a lawyer. And this guy, who's Mitch, his dad is the most powerful lawyer in Sunnydale.
They are the same character.
Exactly.
Like, the writers were like, we need, just throw Blaine 2.0 at Cordy. I literally just wrote in all caps, gross Cordelia.
I wrote, Cordelia's hair looks great, but I hated her boyfriend on impact.
Yeah, that's, yep. As soon as he stepped onto the scene, I was like, Oop, nope, that's a no for me. No. That's a no for me.
I got bad vibes, and they were pretty much validated instantly.
Yeah, they were really bad. This guy also was in something else, and it's going to drive me
crazy
because he was a creep in whatever he was in. Like,
he plays a good creep.
He does, and he was acting. I remember whatever he was in at this time, because I just recognized him immediately when he started talking. Whatever he was in at this time, he was acting like a good guy.
Oh.
And ended up being a creep.
That's kind of how he was in this episode, too.
Yeah.
Because he, like, is walking through the hallway with Cordelia, and they're talking about how she's going to win May Queen and all that jazz, and how in Harmonies they're like, you guys are going to look so fine together at the May Queen Festival. And Cordelia, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Thank you for doing that, because I hate Harmony.
Yeah, hate, 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 loathe entirely once again.
Hate her so much. Hate to see her face. Hate to see her popping up all over the place.
She's such a brown noser.
She's just the worst character ever. You just want to punch her in the face.
Yeah, she is. She's very annoying.
We can also all remember her from Adam's Family Values. And
yeah, of course.
You know, that's who she is. So
fun fact, I've seen that a million times and did not make the correlation that that was the same actress. But that now that you said it, duh.
In this particular episode, her acting skills are womp, womp, womp. They are subpar. Not great.
We're not there yet, but she'll fall down the stairs in a little while and go, oh,
my ankle, it's broken.
It is broken.
Okay.
But before we get to that.
So they're walking down the hallway. We're hearing Cordelia talk about the May Queen, like you said. She's talking about how she's having her dress made from scratch.
Because Off the Rack gives her hives.
Which is very Cordelia.
On brand.
I literally again wrote, her boyfriend is my nightmare. And then I wrote, Mitch is my nightmare. I
wrote that. You're here.
He truly is. The next line I wrote was, Harmony, shut the fuck up. And then I said, Ash just spit on her coffee. And then basically, she's all about getting elected May Queen, of course. And as this discussion is happening, we see Buffy come tearing out of the library and she just slams right into Mitch. Her bag falls down and out falls the normal shit that would fall out of a teenage girl's bag, including a medieval mace.
And I think it's either Cordelia or fucking Harmony. And they go, behold the weirdness.
Yeah, it's Cordelia.
And I was like,
Harmony can't say the word behold. No, like, that's not something she has in her vocabulary.
But I feel like instead of starting morbid episodes with hey weirdos, we should start with behold the weirdness.
I like that. But she tells them, nobody asks what that mace is for.
No.
They're all just looking down at this like drop dead gorgeous girl in front of them, and they're all just like, look at this fucking weirdo. Like,
meanwhile,
they're all just like horrified by her.
Buffy went to like Dry Bar that morning and got a freaking fantastic blowout.
She looks phenomenal.
Her outfit is killer. Like, shut
on point.
Up. It's just such proof that like mean girls will pick on you because they're jealous of you.
Exactly, because this is a prime example of it.
And I guarantee you, Harmony is even more jealous of Buffy.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning of things, let's all remember, Cordelia spotted Buffy and knew instantly that she was cool.
Yeah, she was like, look at that girl, and look at her hair.
I bet Harmony sees her as a threat.
Oh yeah, she definitely does, because Harmony is the fucking worst.
Have we mentioned that?
Yeah, she sucks. But basically, she just offers up because nobody's asking, but they're all just being rude. She's like, oh, this is, you know, this, you're probably wondering why I have a medieval mace here. It's for history class. And she's going, and they're like, yeah, whatever. And Harmony continues to make me want to smother her by saying this.
She is always hanging with that creepy librarian in that creepy library.
Yeah, she talks shit about Giles.
Ooh.
Called him a creepy librarian.
You're right.
Who this girl?
I felt the heat coming off of your body in that moment. I was like, is she going to hit me?
Creepy librarian.
Creepy librarian.
What are you doing?
He's the most freaking cute.
So wholesome.
Sweet. Just, I want to pinch his little cheekles.
Yeah.
You know?
He's wholesome as fuck. Get out of here, yeah. Harmony.
You even know there's a library at the school, Harmony?
Seriously. You knew he existed? That's crazy.
Shocking.
I wrote, Harmony, we're fighting at dusk. And then they leave, and Cordelia starts telling them about the time that Buffy attacked her at the Bronze, and says as they walk away, I don't know why this school admits mentals like her.
aged like a human.
Oof.
Rude.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Attacked you at the Bronze? She has saved your life multiple times, you asshole.
That's the thing. Cordelia gives you, she hasn't given us anything this episode so far, but she gives you a little bit every now and again where you're like, oh. Yep. And then she's like, whoop, and pulls it right back.
She can't give it all. And Buffy is clearly hurt. She's watching them walk away, and it's like, she has a great hurt face.
It stings.
Yeah. Now they're in class, and the teacher, I believe her name is like Mrs. Miller.
Yes,
I think
you're
correct. She's reading a passage from The Merchant of Venice. The whole, if you prick us, do we not bleed passage.
I never read The Merchant of Venice.
We read it in high school. I don't remember what year, though.
Hmm.
But Cordelia says Shylock, the character, is self-absorbed and making his problems way bigger than they are. Basically, she starts talking about herself.
Yes.
But bitching about how Shylock is very narcissistic. Then she relays how this one time, she's like, I have an example. This one time I ran over a girl who was riding on her bike.
Yeah.
And she made it all about her and her leg and being hit by a car. And I was traumatized. She didn't even think of me.
It was the worst moment of my life.
Yeah. But here she is, like, bitching about her leg.
Oh, Cordelia.
And we can see that Willow tries to, like, chime in to, like, give the real answer to the questions that the teacher is asking. But the teacher's kind of, like, just focusing on Cordelia.
It's a very teacher's pet moment.
Yeah. And the bell rings, everybody leaves, and Cordelia actually walks up to the teacher to ask her for some help with her final paper, which I was like, she does that?
Yeah, because I was like, in the beginning, because, you know, like, you're starting to look for any of the weirdness, I was like, okay, something is off about Cordelia doing the reading and writing a paper.
Yeah.
That was due.
Exactly. Which ends up, nothing was really.
No, I was wrong.
So I think what happened was, one, this is the first season. Every character is going to evolve from that pilot episode.
Of course.
They're all going to turn a little different. Like, all we have to do is look at, I mean, you can look at Parks and Rec, look at everybody on those first few episodes. You can look at
Gilmore Girls,
how Dean was like, you know, the smart boyfriend, and then they made him like the dumb doofus. Dumb as soon as they brought Jess into the fold. They just change a character. And I think with this one, they didn't do it too hard. Like, this was one you can digest very easily and take in, because you would look at Cordelia and you would go, okay, she's the cool girl. She's like the May Queen. She's the this, she's the that. It makes sense that she would also be caring about her schoolwork because she wants to go to a good school.
Yeah.
Like, that's like on brand with that kind of character. They really only made her struggle with like computer class.
That's very true.
Which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Everything was new back then. Computers were new.
Yeah.
It's like, this wasn't a real thing. So at first I was like, what? And then I was like, you know what? That makes sense. And when she approaches the teacher to talk to her about this, her teacher like praises her for her insight during class.
Which I was like, that's a shitty insight.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Mrs. Miller's got some explaining to do.
Yeah, she does. And Willow hears this and just kind of like rolls her eyes and walks away. But she tells her, meet me after class. I think it was like the next day.
Yeah, I think
she was
going
to have time. But she walks out and she's talking to Harmony again.
Ugh.
And she says, she's talking about her dress and how it's ready to pick up. And she says, Mitch is going to die.
And I immediately uh-oh'd.
And I said, ha.
There was such an emphasis on die that I was like, well, here we go to the locker room where all the students die.
The locker room. That's where everybody gets murdered.
Like, literally almost everyone has been murdered in either the boys' or the girls' locker room.
Yeah, just don't go in the locker room.
I actually think so far it's been mostly the girls' locker room.
Yeah, it really has, actually. Now, we see Mitch in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
He's just getting out of the shower. It's clear that this asshole is going to get something.
Oh,
something's
yeah.
coming his way. And he's changing. He's talking to some guys about his tux for prom or May Queen shit, whatever. And one of his friends says, got to be good to be on Cordelia's arm. And he says, it's not her arm I'm looking to be on.
Sir, get the hell out of here.
I was like,
have you seen your face?
Well, let's see him die now.
Honestly.
I was literally like, who's popping the popcorn? Let's watch this fucking show.
Honestly.
I'm ready.
So true.
There was a bat on top of the locker and I was like, get it.
Oh, I knew. Immediately, I
get
knew.
Get it.
I have to say, though, I was thrown off a little bit by a bit of a red herring, and I want to know if you caught it. Because there was this is something I actually didn't even tell you when we were watching. There was somebody dressed in all black lurking in the background, kind of like looking in the mirror. But they were alone. So I was like, oh, like what is that person's deal? I'm trying to be like real astute when I'm watching.
I'm trying to be real astute.
Trying to be astute up in here.
I love that.
I thought that whoever that was going to hurt or kill Mitch. Ooh. But then we hear a girl's laughter and I was immediately like, oh, red herring.
That was just somebody in black.
They love putting a red herring, though. Because he was, like, lurking in the corner, like, creepy. Yeah.
And you were also thinking it might have had something to do with him saying that thing about Cordelia.
Yeah, I said it's interesting that Mitch was saying he wanted to get in Cordelia's pants right before the seemingly female ghost beat him with the bat. And I was like, maybe that has something to do with it. Like, this ghost had a bad experience with men.
And it's like, that makes sense.
A bad man. You know?
A bad man experience.
So I was thinking maybe his ex, even, because, like, she wouldn't want to hear about him getting in Cordelia's pants, or his sister being like, wow, you're disgusting. You know,
just
I don't know.
Sister out of nowhere.
I also thought it was somebody that died.
Yeah. I think we all thought that at first for sure.
Yeah.
But we do see something approaching him. We don't see the thing that is approaching him. We just see like the point of view from the person. And we hear, like you said, the girl giggling and he's doing the who's there like an idiot.
Shut up.
I think Giles does it later. It doesn't count. It's okay. But Mitch is an idiot. And there's more giggling and he goes to grab that baseball bat on top of the locker. But instead, an invisible entity grabs the bat and just starts beating the hell out of him with it.
It's a lot.
That entity was me. that entity was me.
I had a feeling.
Like, surprise everybody. That was me who beat the hell out of Mitch. Weirdly, when we see him later, he doesn't have nearly as many injuries as I thought he would have with a wooden baseball bat being pounded against his skull.
His eye is slightly swollen.
His eye isn't even slightly. It's not even swollen. It's like they just rubbed a little eyeshadow on it.
Yeah, it's like glossy. Also, we see the bat later and there's only blood on one side of it. And I was like, I don't know about that.
Also, there was no blood on him.
Nope, none.
I was like, where did that blood come from?
And the blood on the bat almost looked like the bat had gotten hurt.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like the bat had suffered injuries.
The bat was injured.
You know?
Oh, so after he gets the hell beaten out of him, we go right into the theme. And we see that Cordelia is back at it again. She is campaigning for May Queen. She is passing out chocolates with the letter C on them. Harmony very astutely says, is that because your name is Cordelia?
No.
Get her out of here. Get her out of here.
No.
When Cordelia literally calls her an idiot. And I was like, on Cordelia's side.
Like, no, it's C for campaign, Harmony, you idiot.
She's like, you're dumb. So, she won't even give Buffy a chocolate. Like, she's handing them out to everyone. She goes to hand one to her. And then is like, actually, I don't need the loony fringe vote.
Yeah, she's being terrible in the beginning of this episode.
I was like, you can see every time it's happening in this episode, it's hurting Buffy.
It's hitting her to the core.
Yeah, this isn't one of those where she's like, fuck you, Cordelia. She's like, something's bothering her.
And after a little while of, because Cordelia is making these comments constantly anyways, like in past episodes, of course it's going to hit Buffy at some point. Like, all right, I've had enough.
Exactly. And there's a moment where Willow and Xander kind of come up to Buffy. They're talking. Somehow, like, they're talking about Cordelia, and they start reminiscing together, Willow and Xander, about a field trip with Cordelia in, like, sixth grade, and they're just doing that old friend thing where they give zero details or context and just say remnants of inside jokes.
And start, like, dying laughing.
Yeah, and they're just dying laughing, and Buffy's just sitting there watching them, and she goes, it's fun that we're speaking in tongues.
Yeah, it's funny because I was the new girl in high school, and I had come in, like, probably through sophomore. Yeah, it was like halfway through sophomore year. And I had a fine time at school, of course. But of course, duh.
Of course I had a fine time.
Don't question me. But I remember like my friends reminiscing on things from way back in the past. And I just sit there like,
and you're like,
okay,
I wasn't there.
Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Because the thing is, if they give you a story to go along
that's
fine. You can get into that. But when they're just throwing these little like threads of inside jokes at each other,
that only makes sense.
And then laughing
them.
Hysterically, it really is like speaking in tongues.
Frustrating.
Basically, you know, we can see that Buffy's starting to get like something's bothering
her. She's a little miffed.
Something's bothering her. I think she's feeling left out. She's feeling like, you know, picked on. And then what we find out from this whole thing is that Cordelia basically has a history of trying too hard. That was the essential thesis statement of their whole shenanigans in front of her.
Accurate.
But Xander is like, like they're talking about May Queen. And he's like, yeah, who the hell would want to be May Queen? Like morons want to be May Queen.
And Buffy's like, well,
I was actually May Queen, or a version of May Queen at her old school.
Which, believable with that hair.
Yeah. And she liked it. She's like, I like the whole thing. I love the whole coronation. It's fun. We did a whole thing. And she's clearly having some kind of sad nostalgia because she isn't quite fitting into that mold in Sunnydale. Now, suddenly a student comes out of nowhere running into the hall to no one in particular, just says, guys,
come on.
Come on. And Ash literally goes,
What did I say?
Someone died again.
Someone died again. Mitch got wailed on.
He doesn't actually say someone died again, but Ash immediately was like, someone died again.
I was like, wow.
Because that is very accurate. Like, he didn't die, but like, every time a kid comes running into the hallway in Sunnydale, you know he's going to say, someone got murdered again.
Someone has been brutally killed. Let's go check it out, guys.
Let's check it out, guys.
And then he does say, Mitch got wailed on, which is really funny.
Mitch got wailed on, to which I was like, what? You don't say. I wasn't there. Don't blame me. Then we see Principal Snyder, because obviously people are like, is he? And then it goes to another thing. And Principal Snyder saying, dead? Of course not. What are you, ghouls? To which I say, yes.
I think he also says, there are no dead students here this week.
This week. But Mitch tells Buffy, like, he's being wheeled out of the locker room and he's alive.
Bummer.
Kind of barely. Yeah. Even hurt, really. Yeah. But he's just dazed, clearly. And he tells Buffy just like runs up to him. Everyone's allowed to just compromise every crime scene here.
It's always.
Totally fine. Question the victim, everything.
Yeah, right after they get wheeled out.
Yeah. And Buffy just runs up to him and he tells her as he's being wheeled away that he was attacked by his bat alone. And right in front of Snyder and the entire school, Buffy's like, I got to get to the crime scene. Like, just runs it. And I was like, okay.
Right.
We're not even being subtle anymore.
Like, Buffy, we got to be a little sly. But I wonder also if she was, like, looking for a way out of everything going on and was like, get me to this crime scene.
Yeah. But it's just the fact that she was, like, in front of the entire school is just like, I'm going to go to the crime scene, guys.
Yo,
it's like,
I think her guard was way down.
You might want to hide that a little bit. Totally. Like, nobody knows you're the Slayer girl.
Ma'am.
So she tries to go in there and Snyder's like, you are always like in everyone's business. Like, you're always in the way. What the fuck? And he's like, no, you're not going in there. And Willow saves her by saying to Xander really loudly, sue? Mitch is going to sue the school?
Quick. Willow is so quick.
She's so quick.
And I do have to say, I fucking hate Principal Snyder, but at least somebody has finally tried to secure a crime scene on this show.
He gave it a best shot.
It's the first time this has happened.
It truly is.
Principal Flutie was like, walk right on into that crime scene. Be my guest.
He was like,
have a laxative on your way
They're
in.
They're dead. Have laxative on the way in. And then we'll hug.
Yes, yes.
But that gets Snyder's attention because he's like, sue what?
Yeah.
And Buffy sneaks into the locker room. So she finds that kind of bloody bat, like we talked about.
The injured bat.
And she also finds open lockers and she looks in. She's not really finding anything. Then she kind of shuts a locker door and sees an L painted on it. And she shuts all the rest of them. And Ash was like, loser? Because it's like L-O.
That's what I thought.
But it says, look.
And I was
spray painted on them.
Okay.
And then you're like, okay, I will.
Late nights at work taking a toll on your skin? Do you find yourself staring at those dark circles in the mirror? Well, it's time to meet your new best friend, Dark Circle Defense Balm from Lumen. Lumen is a line of brilliant men's skincare solutions crafted especially for men who want to look and feel their brightest. Whether you're a seasoned skincare pro or a total newbie, Lumen Skin has got you covered. Lumen's Dark Circle Defense Balm is a lightweight gel that absorbs seamlessly into your skin to brighten your under eyes and instantly plump dehydration lines. It's basically an espresso shot for your eyes. The best part? Lumen will let listeners of this podcast try the product out for free. Yes, you heard that right. Free. Head to lumenskin.com/wondery and get your free trial of Dark Circle Defense and their other amazing products now. Say goodbye to tired-looking eyes and say hello to a new and refreshed you. Don't wait any longer. Your skin will thank you. That's lumenskin.com/wondery for your free trial.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Now, in the lunchroom, Willow, Buffy, and Xander are trying to decode the look thing, and Giles shows up. I love that Giles just shows up to their lunch table and just, like, chats with them. It's fun.
Yeah, I love it.
And, like, no one questions it. It's
just no,
like,
these days wouldn't happen.
Yeah, it's just the librarian walking up. Now, he agrees with Buffy that this doesn't really ring like a typical monster attack because they don't really leave the breadcrumb trail.
Right, right.
She's like, they just eat, crunch, kill. That's it. And he was like, and Giles is like, I've never really heard of somebody being attacked by a lone baseball bat.
Me either, Giles.
Yeah. And Xander says this.
Maybe it's a vampire bat. I'm alone with that one, huh?
To which I say, no, you are not alone in that. I laughed out loud. Ash can be my
You know what's funny is you did laugh out loud. And I sat there quietly and I did not let on to you that I did not understand the joke. But now hearing it for the second time because you did just play it, I understand the joke.
You didn't understand vampire bat?
No, I kept thinking about a vampire playing baseball. I'm going to be honest here.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm nothing but an open book, okay?
Wow. This was one of those jokes that I immediately thought that if my husband, if John was sitting here, he would say, of course you laughed at that.
And she said that.
He knows I love a good dad joke.
That was also like a weird kind of pun almost.
I loved it.
You love a pun too.
I love a pun. I love a good dad joke. I'm here for
you're
it.
Funny,
I laughed out loud.
A funny gwirly.
Gwirly. But Giles says there are possibilities like telekinesis, an invisible, you know, random creature or person, or a poltergeist.
Yes.
And they realize that if it's a poltergeist, it's a dead kid. So they decide we should probably look into dead or missing kids. Fun. And Buffy says she's going to find out about Mitch. She'll go talk to Cordelia or just like find some shit out.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Harmony talking to Cordelia about Mitch.
Ugh.
And Cordelia's acting like she's really like she's like, I'm going to go visit him.
Yeah.
And
it Harmony's threw me
like,
off.
Yeah. And then she's like, you know, I'm just so upset because he's probably not going to look good in prom pictures.
Girly girl.
Which I laughed a little bit.
Girly girl. Lie. You know what? I have to say, that would have been me.
It 100% would have been you.
I will take the time right now to tell you that this girl right here was a promzilla.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was.
But it's okay.
I can tell you that right now.
But I'm a chill bride.
I was there.
So far.
Yeah, which
no one expected. Neither did I.
During prom with Ash, I literally sat there and I go, oh God, can you imagine her wedding? And it has not been that way.
No.
If you want to make it that way, you are fully welcome to.
Oh my God, you're so sweet. No.
But
you know what the thing? I don't have time to be that way anymore. Yeah, like, in high school, I had all the time in the world to be like, my date's tie needs to match absolutely perfectly, which it did not. And my corsage needs to be perfect, which it was not.
No, it was not.
I wish I could post a picture, but that would be mean. Let's continue.
Continue.
Shall we?
Well, she's not upset that he might have, you know, had some blunt force trauma to the head. She's upset that he's going to not look great in the prom picture, which I'm going to be mean here because he is not my type. And I'm going to say, you wouldn't have looked good before, but I'm... we get a flashback now. It all of a sudden, you can tell it's a flashback because it's sepia tones.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we're here. And it's Cordelia talking to Harmony in the same spot outside. And it's when Mitch apparently just broke up with his girlfriend, Wendy.
Yep.
And Cordelia's talking about how, like, they broke up 6 seconds ago and he's already trying to get with me. Mitch is gross. And she says she will see if he makes the varsity baseball team and then she'll take him for a test drive.
Dead.
Which is pretty, it's legend behavior.
She is, let me even take the kind of out of there. She's a boss bitch.
She is kind of a boss bitch, I'm not gonna lie.
She is a boss bitch.
In this moment, I was like, you're kind of hilarious.
Like, that's the thing. Like, she's so mean sometimes. So mean. And she cuts to the core.
She does. And this is why Cordelia needs to be this way, because she does have a good arc.
She does.
She does.
Already,
she has a good arc.
Even in this episode.
And you need someone that you hate.
And love.
Yeah, like, you need that person.
It you need like, the Regina George.
Yeah, like, I remember in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which is like around the same time.
Libby
is not that character.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to compare Libby and Cordelia, and I was like, no, I fucking hate Libby.
No, I'm saying like she had no redeemable qualities.
None.
And so you hated her, which was fun to hate her, just to hate her, but you didn't really give a shit about that character.
Exactly.
Like, she left at one point, and I was like, oh, she left? I didn't even realize.
Bye, Libby.
Yeah. But Cordelia...
Different.
...has those moments... So you feel like you have this tether to her that you're like, I can't let her go.
Yeah.
I can't let her float out to sea. I feel like there's something here that I can keep her here. So she's just a really great character.
We also kind of, not to get like into like a fucking thesis on Cordelia, but we also heard in like the first couple episodes that her mom has issues at home. So
something's going on.
You know, like it's that classic story of like she's going through it at home and she's kind of an asshole at school.
And we hear her later. She kind of talks to Buffy and opens up a little bit.
Yeah.
So you get a little more insight into why she is the way she is.
The real Cordelia.
But yeah, she's going to take Mitch for a test drive in this flashback. And then she looks at the camera like it's a person, like your point of view.
Yep.
And we hear a girl say hi. And then she looks at her disgustedly and says, what do you want?
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. And not then it nice. Comes back to the present. And she says, I hope they can prop him up long enough to take the picture.
I can't.
And I literally wrote, she's amazing and awful. So that's her thesis right there. But Buffy asks to speak with her, like walks up and is like, Cordelia, can I talk to you really quick? And before Cordelia can even like really say much, something invisible just throws Harmony down the stairs.
And I'm obsessed with whoever that was. Was that you again?
That was also me.
I knew it.
I am the guest star in this.
I beat
the hell out of Mitch and I threw Harmony down the stairs.
Uncredited actor, because I didn't see you in the credits.
To be honest, while I was watching this, I was like, was this me? Did I forget? Like, I was like, wow, this is really on brand for me.
So perhaps it was telekinesis and you telekinesied into the episode.
Telekinesied, you know.
I did.
So she falls all the way down the stairs. And when she hits the bottom, everyone's gathered around her. Snyder is there and he's like, fuck.
I feel like we have to insert the clip of her breaking her ankle, quote unquote.
We really do
so
have to.
So bad.
We have to do it because she so casually says this.
Oh, my ankle. I think it's broken.
Wow.
Like, you wouldn't just be like, my ankle.
Yeah.
I think it's broken.
Yeah, no.
Like, you'd be like, ah, my ankle is broken.
Exactly.
Like, you'd be freaking, it hurts when you
and
break
also,
a bone.
Principal Snyder goes to, like, touch her ankle.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, ow, and he goes, don't sue.
Don't sue.
It's just, like, a very funny aside.
He's actually funny in this episode.
He is. But finally. I still don't trust this motherfucker.
No, he's still the worst.
Nah.
But he was funny in this episode.
Don't sue.
But Harmony also says that she didn't fall down the stairs. She said,
I was pushed.
So Buffy runs up the stairs. She's trying to see what was up there. And we see a door close. And she follows it. And no one seems to be around, but she's hearing footsteps and, like, some shuffling and shit. And she's like, what the fuck? So she follows it into the music room. And she hears thumping in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And it's those classic, like, school tiles on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. They're, like, speckled and
shit.
Yeah,
those speckled little tiles.
They always look dirty.
Always. And and if any water gets in them, it's just a big brown spot on them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she tells it, you know, I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to talk. And we see the ceiling tile move. Clearly something's around, but nothing comes out.
Right.
So then we see everyone leaving school and we notice two guys in suits are standing off to the side just taking notes.
And nobody else really notices them.
No.
But we do as
we notice. And we're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
But Giles says he's talking about how he's never seen a ghost, but he said through research, it seems like if one had gone through you, because they're thinking this must be a ghost.
Uh-huh.
He says, if one had gone through you, it would have been cold. And Buffy's like, well, it did bump into me. Like, I felt it. but she said it wasn't cold. And then she says, and I heard a girl's laughter. So they posit, maybe this can be an invisible person and not a ghost.
Right.
And Giles is like, well, who the hell would that be? And they realize that the people she went after are both connected to Cordelia.
Uh-huh.
So now they're like, okay. So Buffy's like, tomorrow you got to bring up that missing kids list when we got to go through it.
And we have to like focus on girls now.
Yeah,
on
because clearly something's going on. So Xander and Willow walk off together. They're like, yep, we'll bring that in. They're like making plans for dinner at his house. And like, I didn't include her.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, like Xander's just like, hey, you coming over for dinner tonight? And they're talking about his mom's cooking and shit.
And it's not intentionally rude or anything, but it's just like you're leaving one of your good friends out.
And you're not realizing it.
Yeah. And I have to point out in this scene, Willow was actually wearing a Scooby-Doo shirt.
She was.
Which I was like, is that a little foreshadowing? Because still, they haven't been coined the Scooby-Gang.
Yeah, they haven't been coined that yet, but I did love that.
Yeah.
But I think it's too... It's just us. It's showing us that Xander and Willow have this little thing. They've had this little thing, and Buffy is still the new kid.
Yeah.
Like, even in her own little Scooby gang, she's still the new kid.
So it's, like, solidifying that point.
Exactly. It's pointing it out that they aren't doing it intentionally. They're just used to only being the two of them.
And it's really just, you're right, like, the way it is.
Yeah.
You know?
But it hurts Buffy.
Yeah,
like, you can see it on her face. She's watching them walk away.
That's the thing about Sarah Michelle Gellar. She's such a good actress. Because in all of these scenes where you can tell, like, Buffy's really feeling bummed out, she never once in this episode says that she's bummed out. It is all just like facial acting, you know?
She does it exactly. That's the thing. And you can see it every time and you feel like, So I can feel what you're feeling right now. But Giles is like, I'm going to research invisibility.
BRB.
He's like, what are you going to do tonight? And Buffy's like, I guess I'll be off hunting this mystery creature.
Yeah.
Like Cordelia's going to be trying on her dress and getting that ready. I'll kind of be around and see if it shows up.
Why is Cordelia trying on her dress at the school?
Not really sure.
Weird.
Not really sure. But, you know, we do it. So we see leather on leather, Buffy.
Fashion in. And her hair looks great. I am going to have a moment with scissors eventually while we're fucking rewatching this. And I'm going to cut those bangs.
I know. They're so good.
They're so good. And for all my hairstylists out there, I was looking at the parting and it's more of a square parting on those. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I got to figure that out.
All right.
Because usually bangs are a triangle parting.
Huh.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That is very interesting.
They're like hairline bangs. They're not like real bangs, but that's okay. Not all of you are hairdressers, so you're probably like, please shut up.
I was like, hairline bangs, you don't say.
Yeah.
But yeah, she looks great though.
She does.
She looks great. It's after hours at school, obviously, and she's kind of just walking down the hallway. And she looks into one of the rooms, and that's when we see Cordelia. She's trying on her May Queen dress, and there's a bunch of girls fawning all over her. Mm-hmm. She's like smiling and everything, and it just looks like this beautiful moment. Clearly, Buffy is having another sad nostalgia moment. She's looking in and like smiling and just kind of.
She used to be in Cordelia's shoes. Exactly. If she was this queen, like she was getting ready with her friends at her old school.
Exactly.
Which I'm like, how did you have time to be May Queen and the Slayer? Like, that's impressive.
Yeah, it really is. Then she hears a flute playing and she starts following it. And Giles is in the library doing his research and he hears the flute too. And as we see that Buffy's gone to follow it, we're now on Giles and he then hears creaking.
Yep.
And you're like, oh no, this thing is coming after him. But it's not because he says, who's there? I'll forgive it.
It's different than Mitch because he has a British accent, so it's more palatable.
Oh yeah, and it's just like Mitch is an idiot.
Exactly.
So, and Mitch got the hell beaten out of him. So.
Yes.
Suddenly, Angel appears.
In my notes, I just wrote, hi, Angel. Hi, Angel.
Which is what I would have said if I was in person. And then he would have been like, who are you?
Hi. But Giles is nervous, like visibly.
I mean, a vampire has just appeared that we haven't seen in a few weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, like there's a whole thing last time we saw him.
He like low-key tried to kill Buffy, you know?
Yeah. So like it's a little nerve-wracking.
Things got weird.
And he notices, he looks over in like this little glass in one of the cabinets and he notices that Angel isn't in that. And he's like, oh, like vampires don't cast a reflection. And that's making him more nervous because he's like, oh, you really are like
a vampire.
A vampire. And Angel says, don't worry, I'm not here to eat. To which I said, damn right you're not here to eat.
She said Angel. That out loud.
Literally said that out loud. Damn right.
You are not. Of course he's not.
Sir. You don't even need to say it. But Giles is like, cool. Are you here for Buffy? Like, he's just like,
why are you here then?
Like, here for Buffy? Angel's a little mopey in this moment.
What's the word?
He's very maudlin.
Maudlin.
Yeah, he's very maudlin. And Giles, because he's like, yeah, like, I can't be around her.
It's very Edward and Bella.
Like, very Edward and Bella.
Hey, Stephanie Meyer, did you watch Buffy?
She definitely did.
Yeah.
She took a lot of that. But Giles is like, he's trying to, like, connect with him weirdly.
And he's like, I love it.
A vampire and a slayer. Like, it's weirdly poetic in a maudlin way.
Yeah.
What's weird is I used the word. When I heard this, I was like, what? Because I used the word maudlin.
Also,
in a sentence earlier in the day.
She very much did. I was there.
Yeah, when Ash was here.
And this is not the first time this has happened on Buffy because
remember
I did the razzle dazzle thing?
Yep.
Was that Buffy or was that Morbid?
I think it was
Buffy.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. It really has.
Weird.
There's some kind of connection here.
I'm saying.
But I was like, whoa, maudlin. I love that you used that word.
I know, and maudlin is like not a word that one uses every day.
Yeah, it was very strange. But Angel asks him about what he's been researching about the master. Angel's like on his own path of stress. And he says, something big is happening. He doesn't exactly know what, but he needs Giles's help. And Giles starts talking about the book, about Slayer prophecy, and how the Pergamum Codex, I think it's called, contained the most detailed description of the Slayer's role in the end times. But the book was lost in the 15th century.
Or was it?
And Angel says it actually wasn't lost. It was misplaced. But I'll get it. You're like, wow. Okay.
I'm like, did you misplace it? Like, yeah, did like, you take happened? That for some reason?
And Giles says, that would be most helpful.
Which I love. I want to start putting most in front of adjectives.
That would be most helpful. But he's like, yeah, I'll go get it. Now, they talk to each other about the invisible girl. Giles is like, yeah, we're dealing with this whole invisible girl thing. And Giles says, it seems like it would be a pretty good power to have, actually. And Angel gets very, very maudlin again. And he gets very, he's like, it's actually not.
It's pretty tough.
It's pretty tough. And I was like, all right, put your big collar back on and go sulk over there.
No, stay here and sulk.
This is why Angel is not for me. That would annoy the shit out of me. I'd be like, get over it.
Oh, see, I like his dark emotional ways.
Because they're not even like, it's not like dark emotion. It's just like,
emotional.
Sad boy.
It's like the front bottoms. Emotional baby boy. Emotional man.
That's literally age. Emotional baby boy.
Emotional man. That's I love the front bottoms.
That's very much him.
I love the front bottoms and I love Angel.
Yeah, he gets very, very moody.
Yeah.
I can't really say a lot because Spike also gets moody, but he gets moody in a very different way. I think it's this like sulky thing that I can't bear.
I think you just like the Brits.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't actually put that together.
I think something about people being British makes you be able to like absorb their emotions better or something.
It's the accent.
It's the theater of it all.
It's the accent that I'm like, it's all right.
You're like, listen, you can't be emotional around me unless you're fucking British, okay?
Unless
so if you're
going
to be emotional, do it in a British accent.
Yeah.
Next time I'm upset, I'm going to be like, I'm real upset today. I'm real fucking gift, mate. How does one, can I cry in a British accent? That's how I'm going to cry around you.
Pass
I like
me a
that.
Tissue. I've got an issue.
I've got an issue.
Pass me a tissue.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's not fun being invisible.
I can't imagine it would be all the time.
And then he just kind of floats away with a big collar.
Because imagine if you couldn't look in the mirror, like, all the time. Like, that'd be a stressful experience.
So we have another flashback. And we see, finally, we see a student named Marcy.
Who has been in literally everything.
She's Clea DuVall.
Yes.
She's been in She's All That.
Yeah.
She's been in a shit ton of other things that, of course, I can't name right now. I especially remember her in She's All That.
Same.
But we see her looking in the mirror at school, and she's like, just like a cute girl, just looking in the mirror.
I love her haircut.
Very cute haircut. And we hear Cordelia walking into the bathroom, and she's complaining about some guest lecturer that came in and how they're talking about their trip to, like, you know, Nepal and all this, and how nobody cares. Okay. And she comes in with Harmony and all her friends.
The gang.
And Marcy kind of just joins in, making fun of the lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears like maybe they're all on the same page. Like, she's smiling and just kind of like joining in, being an asshole with them.
Of course.
And Harmony said, like, looks at her when she says, like, because she's just like joining in with insults about this poor man who came in.
Yeah, she's like, his toupee looks like a cabbage.
Yeah, and she says that like twice and everyone ignores her. And at one point, Harmony says, we're talking, okay?
Harmony, are you all right?
Asshole. And Marcy again says, like, she said that toupee thing. And Harmony is just a shit to her. Cordelia then says the thing about the toupee and then says it looked like a cabbage.
Which Marcy, like you said, has said twice now.
And she walks away and she's like, that was funny.
And it's like
talking like she made it up.
Right.
And Marcy looks sad
because
she was just completely ignored until Harmony was an asshole to her.
I'm going
to
be honest with you. There's two moments where I feel bad for Marcy in this episode, and that's it.
And that's it. You feel bad, but you're like, suck it up, Buttercup. You got to move on.
This first one, I was like, ooh, that hurts.
Yeah. While you're watching this, you're like, aw,
because I Marcy. Think even if you haven't had like that extreme of an example, everybody's kind of been in a place of Marcy before in that regard.
At least like some little moment where you just felt left out.
Yeah. Like you make a joke like that doesn't land or like,
yeah,
exactly.
So Marcy looks sad. It transitions into Cordelia winning May Queen in the present day. She gives a speech in the courtyard about her popularity being her right and her responsibility.
It's very similar to Gretchen Wiener's apology in Mean Girls.
I died a thousand deaths watching this. Like,
we all did.
I just left.
I'm sorry that I'm so popular.
So Willow and Xander show up. They find Buffy kind of leaning against a pole. She's watching the whole thing very nostalgically.
Elena got whiplash when she turned to me and said, you love that.
I did. Buffy's outfit, I literally, as soon as I saw it, I looked over at Ash and I go, you love that.
I loved it.
It's a great outfit.
She's in her Greta Garbo era. She's got these like delish sunglasses, a lacy scarf that she's wearing as a necklace, which is powder blue, of course.
Of course.
And another powder blue coat.
She loves a powder blue.
And I love the sunglasses. They're like translucent pink 90s.
Those were the shit.
I think I had a pair of those like a little child.
Yes, because I had a bunch of those.
And I remember you having those everywhere.
They were so cool.
Even the bun is a win.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice, messy bun that just like is on purpose.
Fashion in.
So Willow and Xander give her the missing kids and dead kids list.
you know,
just here you go, friend. And quickly they notice the two suited men that we saw before just hanging around. But they kind of just ignore it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, did Cordelia hire bodyguards? Like, it's just a joke. And then they just go on.
Which she honestly probably would.
I know. That wouldn't be shocking. Now, on that list is a Marcy Ross. And she disappeared 6 months earlier. She was apparently in band and she played the flute.
Bum, bum, bum.
You remember that Buffy was following the flute playing. She mentions that the band room was where she was led and that she had heard the flute. And they agree that Buffy's going to go investigate and they're going to regroup later. So she goes into the band room. She finds a boot print on a chair leading to that moving ceiling tile in the band room.
Yep.
And she goes into it. And it's clear up there in the ceiling that someone has been living up here.
It's creepy as fuck.
She calls it like a nest, basically. She finds a bed. She finds a flute. She finds music, a teddy bear. We hear heavy breathing around Buffy as she's looking at the stuffed bear that's next to the bed. The heavy breathing comes closer and closer as she opens a yearbook and she sees the name Marcy Ross. Then there's a floating knife that appears behind Buffy.
And I wrote, Marcy Ross, don't you dare stab Buffy.
Yeah, no. It's like, you've taken this too far, girl.
Far too far.
Too far. But it moves away from her and she takes the yearbook and she leaves through the same tile. So Mrs. Miller, the same teacher from before that was kind of ignoring everybody but Cordelia, is sitting in her class and she's waiting for Cordelia to come in because this is the day that she's supposed to come after class for help with her final paper. Someone does walk in. She thinks it's Cordelia, but no one enters and she just hears giggling.
Yep.
So you're like, oh shit, it's Marcy. Then an invisible force puts a plastic bag over her head trying to suffocate her.
Like,
very intense.
Marcy Ross, what is your damage?
Marcy Ross, I'm no longer on your side.
You cannot be out here suffocating teachers or anyone for that matter.
I was with you when you beat the hell out of Mitch.
Yeah.
I was rooting for you when you pushed Harmony down those stairs.
Yeah.
I am no longer rooting for you.
I'm not.
But Cordelia does show up. She knocks on the door, but she ends up entering and finding Miss Miller with a bag over her head. Lying on her desk. She rips off the bag and tries to help her, which is very, like, unlike Cordelia.
I think she really likes this teacher.
Yeah, it's clear that she likes this teacher. But the teacher just immediately wakes up, which I was like,
She just comes to.
I don't know about that.
I'm like, ma'am, I think you would have died.
Yeah, and she just goes, attacked. Didn't see.
Yeah, not great acting either on Mrs. Miller's part.
And then she sees a chalk, like somebody invisible. Marcy, write on the chalk, listen.
Which, like, yeah, people should have paid attention to you when you were visible.
Yeah.
But what are you trying to say now? Stop being cryptic.
Exactly.
Just write just it down.
Say it. Don't be theatrical. Right. Come on. Now, we're back in the library, and Buffy shows them all the Marcy yearbook and tells them about her, you know, quote-unquote nest in the ceiling. And they all look at the autographs in the yearbook, and they see that every single autograph says, have a nice summer.
Hags.
And Willow says, this girl had no friends at all.
No.
And Giles is very confused. So they explain to him, and I love what he says when he's confused.
Have a nice summer. Have a nice summer. This girl had no friends at all.
Once again, I teach her at the precipice of the generation gap.
Have a nice summer is what you write when you have nothing to say.
It's the kiss of death.
I love that he's like the precipice of the age gap.
I love the word precipice.
Of the generation gap. I constantly feel there. So I understand that.
Yes.
Now, Willow and Xander tell Buffy that they never actually met Marcy. But she's like, that's strange because here are your autographs in her book.
Yep.
And they find out that Xander wrote have a nice summer. And Willow says, I wrote have a great summer.
She's an empath.
Yeah. But they're like, we probably just signed it, like, as she, you know, she opened it, we signed it.
They're like, we didn't know her. We didn't have any classes with her.
And then they're like, actually, you had 4 classes with her. They're like, oh, shit. So then Xander's like, she turned invisible because no one noticed her?
Yeah.
And Giles bangs his fist on the table, and the following interaction is amazing.
I've been investigating the mystical causes of invisibility when I should have looked at the quantum mechanical. Physics.
I think I speak for everyone here when I say, huh?
And I have to say that Buffy certainly spoke for all of us and me when she said, huh?
So he tells them that there's this thing in physics where our reality is actually perceived. So the fact that they're on a hellmouth and that Marcy was perceived as invisible and that she actually became invisible, like she perceived.
Yep.
And like everyone else did. So flashback to Miss Miller's class, and we see Marcy raising her hand to answer several questions. She completely ignores her.
Yeah.
It calls everyone around her, never calls her.
It's sad.
And eventually we see her hand that she's raising, like, fading into invisibility. So back at the library, they realize this isn't some awesome power that she's manifesting and harnessing. It's kind of a curse that was, like, put upon her.
Giles explains that we perceive our own reality.
Yeah.
And that's what this is.
Exactly, because that's what he had just explained with the physics thing.
Exactly.
Like, that we're perceiving that she's invisible, so she's becoming invisible. Then we see that she had scratched out Cordelia's picture in the yearbook and had drawn a red crown on her. And they realize that Marcy is clearly gunning for Cordelia. That's why she's going after everyone around Cordelia first.
Exactly.
Then Cordelia just barges into the library and goes on a rant about how Buffy is always around when weird stuff is happening. And she just realized someone is after her. So she just needs her help.
Is this what she says? My favorite thing.
Yes.
She goes to
this
Buffy.
This is what she says.
I was kind of hoping you were in a gang. That slayed. I laughed so hard.
She did.
This whole interaction of her in the library is fucking hilarious.
This is a great Cordelia. We finally got some meaty Cordelia.
Yes.
This is why she's hilarious. This is why she's a great character. I agree that line slayed. And Giles tells her to sit. And again, this is an amazing interaction.
You know, I don't recall ever seeing you here before.
Oh, no, I have a life.
When she's like, oh no,
I have a life.
I love that.
I said, she's killing me today.
She was. Now, they explained to her that her attacker is actually an invisible girl who's pissed off at her. And she's like, cool, can you get rid of it?
Like, what do we do about this?
Doesn't ask any questions. Can you get rid of it? And they show her Marcy's yearbook photo. And her first question, she goes, oh, God, is she really wearing Laura Ashley?
Which, like, I've worn Laura Ashley.
It was not cool then.
I guess not.
But she says that she's never seen her before in her life, which by flashbacks, we know she has several times, actually. We then hear Marcy pacing around up in the ceiling in her little nest area. And she's muttering about Cordelia not remembering her and about how she remembers her. And then she says, and all of her slut friends, oof.
Aged like a human. And you're losing it up there, girly.
You're losing it.
You gotta come too.
Because she says she hates them all. They're all life suckers. And she says, they didn't see me coming, but they gotta learn. And then we see a rope while she's saying this. And we're like, oh.
What are you about to do,
GF? What's she gonna do?
Yeah, she might have been invisible in real life, but she's gone around the bend, y'all.
She's lost us. She's lost us all, Marcy.
And herself,
has.
For that she matter. Has.
Giles is now saying that they need to think about the messages that Marcy has left. Look and listen.
Yep.
Buffy points out the crown she drew on Cordelia's pictures, and she thinks maybe she's going to come after May Queen.
Yep.
So Cordelia, they're like, maybe you shouldn't go that tonight. And Cordelia's like, nope.
I'm going.
And Xander responds like this, and I laughed out loud.
Nothing is keeping me from the bronze tonight.
Can we just revel in your fabulous lack of priorities?
He's got such good one-liners.
He really does. That's another That Slade moment
for
me.
Yeah, that's another That Slade for me, too. Now, actually, that might be my quote of the week.
You know what? I was on the precipice of saying that.
There you go.
It's going to be mine, too.
Yeah. Now, she says, if she isn't at coronation, then Marcy wins. And Marcy's way eviler than she is.
Truth.
We all kind of agree, and so does Buffy's like, she doesn't have a point. And she's like, you know what? Maybe we should go on with everything as normal because that'll draw Marcy out. And we'll use Cordelia as bait. And Giles has Willow and Xander help with research. Cordelia walks out being like, wait, am I really bait? Yes, you are.
Yes, yes.
So Buffy and Cordelia have this weirdly deep convo in the hallway where Cordelia's kind of saying, you know, she's felt lonely like Marcy before.
Yeah.
And Buffy's like, what the fuck do you mean?
Like, when have you felt lonely?
And she's like, well, I'm surrounded by people, but I can feel completely alone. And she says, most of the people don't even know me. And I don't even think half of them like me half the time.
All I could do was sing Dark Blue in my head
yes,
by Jack's Mannequin.
Dark Blue, Dark Blue. But she says everyone is so busy agreeing with her, they don't really hear a word she says.
Sad.
And she's like being earnest
she
about
is.
It. And Buffy questions them, why do you try so hard to be so popular? And she says, well, it beats being alone all by yourself.
Truth.
And then she walks away and you're like, damn. And you know what? Buffy heard that shit.
She did.
Because Buffy just looks off like, oh, shit.
It made me a little bit nervous for next episode.
Yeah. Because you're like, what's happening?
Yeah. It's like everybody is feeling the master shift. I'm starting to feel a shift in the storyline here.
Feeling the Buff shift.
Mm.
So we're in the library again. They all hear the flute playing and they decide to follow it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Giles thinks that they should try to talk to Marcy and reason with her.
Yeah. So
he's like, she is a girl, like a normal girl who just turned invisible.
You thought.
And she just wants attention. So like maybe we should give it to her. And they follow the music downstairs to the basement and into like this maintenance room where like the, you know, the boilers are.
Yep.
And Giles tries telling Marcy, you know, we know what happened to you. Willow is apologizing for ignoring her. And then they discover that the flute playing is coming from a radio.
And I knew it. Didn't I call it?
Yep, you did. And they discover this just as the door slams shut and locks them in. Xander says, can you say gulp? And then a hissing sound starts to happen. Gas. She has snuffed out the pilot light. The gas is filling up. There's no way out.
And in my notes, I wrote, Marcy already had psychopathic tendencies if this is what she's capable of.
Yeah, no, Marcy's got to go. Got to go.
Bye.
We were right to ignore her.
Yeah.
No, they can't even bang the door down. Like, Xander tries to take a metal pipe and, like, hit the door.
Not smart.
But the door is metal. So Giles, like, stops him at the last second and is like, one spark is going to ignite this whole thing.
Yeah.
So then we see that Buffy is standing guard outside of a broom closet while Cordelia changes. And she tries to talk to Cordelia through the door about how she was popular in L.A. Cordelia keeps coming in being an asshole, being like, what? Like, how are you popular?
Which, again, you thought she was cool, Cordelia, yeah, immediately.
She just didn't want to hang out with you and you got miffed about it.
Right. Miffed, miffed, miffed.
But suddenly she hears struggling and she breaks down the door to see that QWERTY is being taken into the ceiling. So she follows and finds her on Marcy's makeshift bed, passed out, which gross.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh, I wouldn't want to lay on that.
Dirty.
Marcy then throws Buffy through the ceiling. She falls onto a desk in the classroom below. Excuse me, her stunt double falls onto because, oh man, guys, you got to get a better wig for these stunt doubles.
You truly do.
Her hair is not that blonde.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Very noticeable.
She's a dirty blonde, okay?
Then a doctor's kit gets thrown down and we see an invisible Marcy take a syringe out, aim it at Buffy, and then stab her in the neck with it.
In the neck, y'all.
And Buffy passes out. Where did she get that doctor's kit?
She had to have snuck into, like, a hospital.
But I'm like, what the fuck? Like, no one's gonna explain that.
She's cuckoo nuts bananas.
It's a lot. So Buffy wakes up tied to a chair where the May Queen ceremony is gonna take place. This is like a throne chair.
Is this at the Bronze?
Yeah, they're doing the ceremony at the Bronze.
I thought so.
I'm not really sure why, but... you know,
it's like,
why not?
It's like the Knights of Columbus.
Yeah, truly. So that's exactly it. It's just like a place you do things.
Yeah.
So Cordelia is panicking and she's tied up in a chair next to her. But when Buffy wakes up, we see that Cordelia's in her dress and she's also wearing a crown.
Yeah.
So something bad's going to happen.
Which also, that means Marcy dressed her.
Yes.
Ew.
Yeah. So we see that QWERTY is panicking and she's saying her face is feeling numb.
I'm stressed.
I was like, what the fuck? A spotlight shines on them and in front of them we see the word learn in gold glitter.
I knew after the listen that it was going to be learn.
Yeah. You're like, I knew.
I knew. I did. Okay.
Now a table rolls out and Marcy's voice sounds saying she thought that they would have it figured out by now. And she tells them that Cordelia is the lesson. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And she says, her beautiful face is what makes her shine more than the rest, and everyone wants that beautiful face. And then she pulls the blanket off the table, and it is a full tray of medical supplies, which, again, I don't, like, surgical supplies.
She stole from a doctor.
Then she tells her she's going to give her a face that no one will ever forget.
I'm terrified.
And at one point, she says, like, I got to do this now before the local anesthetic wears off. That's why her face was numb.
Yep.
And then she's like, it's more fun when you're awake.
Like,
what the fuck, Marcy?
Yeah, she's like, I don't want you to pass out.
And also, where did you get local anesthetic? And how did you know how to, like, put it into someone's face? Like, what is happening?
I'm terrified.
Meanwhile, Willow is passing out. Giles and Xander are trying to, like, bang down the door now because Giles has now decided that if they put a blanket over the metal pipe that they can bang it into the
which
door.
Which was smart and innovative.
It really was. And now they're all kind of just like passing out together. We're seeing it's like really bad.
This is like a high intense, stressful scene.
It was. I was nervous for them. Then we flip back to the Marcy scene. Marcy punches Buffy and holds, like, punches her in the face.
Yeah.
And we actually see like red on her face.
You do.
And we see that she holds a scalpel to Cordelia's face. And she's saying this really super balanced and calm speech to her.
Yeah, it's so normal.
You should be grateful. I mean, people who pass you on the street are going to remember you for the rest of their lives. Children are going to dream about you. And every one of your friends who comes to the coronation tonight will take the sight of the May Queen to their graves.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Also, if I was Buffy, I'd be like, I wasn't a student when you went here. Like, why am I being involved in this?
Yeah, I think it's just because she's involving herself in trying to protect Cordelia.
Totally.
And it's like, I'm just trying to be a good person here. Yeah.
Keep your scalpel to yourself, ma'am.
Keep your sob story to yourself, ma'am. I wasn't a part of it, okay? I'm just trying to save another student's life. I think that makes me a good person.
Get out of here.
Just saying. But she literally says she's going to give Cordelia a Glasgow smile, which...
yeah.
I'm not well that that has been threatened on the first season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
This episode, I have to say, is the one I think that shook me the most.
I was like, is this Peaky Blinders? Like, what's going on? Like,
I don't even watch that. It's like too much for me.
Yeah, it was a lot. But she then berates her about how self-involved she is, and she's going on and on, and then she slices her cheek with the scalpel.
Which you pointed out,
if that was a better scalpel... If that was a true scalpel, that would have done a lot more damage.
Yeah, that would have been like to the teeth.
That was like if you take a sharp nail, like your fingernail, and scraped someone's cheek. It was like a just a melee flesh wound. But if it was a scalpel, that would have hit some bone. It wouldn't have been good. But Buffy, while this is all going on, is being her badass self and has been slowly getting herself free. Finally gets out. She kicks away the table and tries to untie Cordelia, but she gets tossed backwards.
Yeah, Marcy is strong.
Yeah, she can't see her, so she's just fighting air.
Yeah.
But we go back to the where they're being gassed in this room, and guess who shows up to save the fucking day?
Me, pick me.
Who does?
Is it Angel?
It's Angel.
Is it the hottest man alive?
He saves the Scoobs.
He does.
He gets them out. He gives Giles the codex. He tells them he can shut off the gas. He's like, you guys go. I don't need oxygen, so I can go shut off the gas.
It's so hot.
He's my most valuable slayer. They would have died without him.
They would have died without him. Yeah. He, I'm going to say, is one of my most valuable slayers.
Yeah, I gave it to him fully this episode because he saved Giles, but he also saves Xander and Willow.
On behalf of like me and Angel, I'm going to thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah. He earned it. Yeah. He very much did. And he's really cool in this part because he's just like, really cool. You guys leave. I don't need oxygen. I'll go in there and shut it off. Yeah. And I was like, fuck yeah, you will.
He's really cool all the time. It's like hot that he doesn't really need cool, oxygen. It's like really hot.
Like, I really like accents and you really like the need to not breathe oxygen.
Yeah, the lack of needing
Yeah. So Buffy wakes up after getting tossed, you know, literally tossed across the place, which is like, she's like, okay, Marcy, we get it.
Right.
Like, I'm over this now.
We've had enough.
This is getting out of control. It's been out of control. Then she's like, dude, you're a thundering loony.
That's what she says.
She literally quotes, I forgot that you're a thundering loony. She's like, I was feeling bad for you.
Yeah.
But this has just taken it to another level.
That's exactly how I feel. Like, I did feel bad for you, but what the fuck?
Thundering loony, apparently, is a great way to describe this. And she keeps getting hit and thrown back by Marcy. She's trying to hit her, but she can't. And Marcy's just being a dick.
Like
she's like, I'm invisible, idiot. You can't get me. Cordelia's crying and screaming in the corner, still attached to a chair. And Buffy finally says, shut up. And she responds, okay.
Cordelia's like, okie dokie.
And she just listens.
And this is a cool scene.
This scene gave me chills.
Me too.
I love it. This is one of my favorite scenes. I love it.
Theatrical masterpiece.
We get this really cool slow motion shot where the camera is just circling Buffy very slowly while she hones in on the sounds around her and just like every sense that she can.
Listen.
And it's amazing. It's just quiet. You see her hair kind of blowing softly in the wind and she's got her eyes closed and she's really just like focusing. And then finally she just turns and connects.
Boom.
Marcy falls back into a red curtain, so we see her form under it.
World star.
Exactly. I don't know what that means, but absolutely. And she... half of our audience is like, hell yeah. And the other half is like, I don't know what that means either. Like,
it's like... If you know, you know.
Come with me, adults, old people.
Come with me,
youths.
We will
go over here. Youths, go to the right. But she stands with it. Marcy stands up and she's got the red curtain still draped over her.
Which was great. And you see her hand in this moment. It's a little bit of a snafu.
Whoops. And Buffy says, I see you, and then punches her back down. And I was like, hell yeah.
World there it star. Is.
And I just said, yes.
You did.
So suddenly, the two suit guys come bursting in.
I was so confused for a minute.
And they're like, hey, we're the FBI.
Fibby.
The whole time I was thinking they had to be FBI, but I didn't know why.
I thought one of them was Mitch's dad in the beginning.
There you go.
I was like, is that like his lawyers on the scene? Just like, Mitch's dad. I don't know.
But they're here to collect Marcy, and they take her out and she's like, where are we going? What's going on? So they take her out and she's like, what are we doing? Where are we going? And they say that they're going to rehabilitate her to be a useful member of society again. And then one of them goes, very useful.
Yeah.
And they say that they have seen it before, but they won't discuss it, and that these kids should just forget about it.
Creepy.
What is happening here?
Not only is Sunnydale a hellmouth, I think it's corrupt.
Yeah, something's going on. So Cordelia is still tied to a chair, by the way, and she's like, can you untie me, please?
And
Buffy does. So the next day, I love Buffy's outfit, minus the car on her shirt.
Yeah, it's hard because when she first walks in, the sun is hitting it. So it just looks like this like rectangular iridescence. Yeah, like
some kind of, you know, little design.
Then it clears up and you're like, never mind.
I don't really need that car. But they're talking about the whole thing and Cordelia shows up and actually thanks them all. And says, like, I owe my life to you. Like, I really appreciate it. You didn't have to help me and you did.
I said, is this Cordelia's turnaround? And then I said, I'm sorry, but I love her.
And then Willow says, do you want to come have lunch with us? We're going to have lunch together. And she looks like she's about to say, sure.
She does.
And then
Mitch,
my nightmare.
Everybody's nightmare.
Shows up and says, you're not hanging with these losers, are you?
Can we just pause for a moment? Mitch, you got beat up by an invisible force that all of these people saved you from.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
You got beat up by an invisible force.
Yeah, he sure did.
And you're just gonna come call me a loser when I saved you from said force?
Yeah.
You're a loser.
He is a loser.
He's the biggest loser.
He's a loser.
Go call your dad, Mitch.
And he's not good enough for Cordelia. Can honestly do better. As sad as that is.
Yeah, he's a foot.
She can do better. And Cordelia, when he says this, she looks at them and she looks back at him and she's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? No.
And I was just doing like, charity.
With this social leper colony and just walks away with him.
Back to being like, terrible.
There she is. I hate her. Then we see this last scene and it's at FBI, like the headquarters. Yeah. We see the FBI guys. They tell a still invisible Marcy that she'll fit right in. And she enters an empty room.
The lady says, welcome back.
Oh, she says welcome back?
I'm almost positive she says welcome back.
Oh, I thought she just said welcome.
Maybe I'm wrong.
We got to double check that.
We're going to double check. Yeah. We'll be back to you next episode.
Yeah. So she enters an empty room that apparently is full of invisible students. And a teacher starts teaching them and tells them to open chapter 11. We see the book flip open to chapter 11, which is entitled Assassination and Infiltration. Yeah. And Marcy laughs and says, cool.
Yeah.
And when you read the chapter, it's the words to Mother Superior by the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, case example one, radical cult leader as intended victim.
I'm so confused.
But it's the words to Mother Superior by the Beatles.
But you figured it out.
So when I saw this, I was like, what? And I'm like, why does this sound familiar? Like, I know the Beatles song, but like, something else is hitting here and I can't remember because I haven't seen this for a long time.
And you kept saying Mother Superior.
And I was like, Mother Superior, Mother Superior. Guys,
if you're not rewatching
Mother Superior,
and if you are, you can relate to this note that I wrote, which says, I'm sorry, what the fuck? I have maybe an unpopular opinion this week.
Oof.
I have to say that before the end, Cordelia was my most valuable Slayer because we did end up seeing a lot of growth in her before Mitch came back around.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we ended with her being the classic B she is, they also kind of needed her to catch Marcy.
Eh.
But when you said Angel, I was like, well, yeah, they absolutely did.
Do you always need bait? Some people can fish without bait.
Some people can fish without bait, but I think the thing that you would need for this whole Marcy situation, because she was so married to the idea of destroying Cordelia, that they did need Cordelia. And I have to say, she did like kind of bend and did what they needed her to do.
Yeah.
So for me, most valuable Slayer. But moving on from that unpopular opinion.
Yes, because I disagree wholeheartedly.
I know you do. And I agree with yours, I will tell you. But my wooden stake stab is that Marcy is coming back because that ending was weird as fuck. And the FBI seemed to be on her side, sort of. So I think maybe we haven't seen the last of her. I'm so confused, but that's my wooden stake stab.
I think that's a great stab.
And my Ask the Watcher is a little silly goofy this episode. How many blue coats does Buffy have? Because I want all of them.
She loves a blue coat.
She has like 80 million.
She really does.
Yeah.
I don't know how many. I can't answer that completely.
Are you even a watcher?
I know. I'm sorry. I don't think Giles could answer that either.
No, definitely not. That's like such a Buffy question.
You know what? I'll say several.
Thank you, Watcher.
You're welcome.
And with that, if the apocalypse comes,
beat me.
The
The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is hosted and executive produced by us, Ash Kelly and Elena Urquhart. Our associate producer is Avery Siegel. Chris Kirk is our post-producer. Music supervisor is Scott Velasquez. And our original theme song was written and performed by Nerf Herder. For Wondery, Emily Feld is our senior producer. Executive producers are Dave Easton, Stephanie Jens, and Marsha Louie.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.